You know, there's different seasons that God takes his church through. And what I mean by that, he will do certain things at different times, and then he'll shift. And one of the biggest challenges for the church is to shift when God shifts. If we were to follow God through the Old Testament, and we would see when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, that they were to move when the cloud moved. And if you didn't move when the cloud moved, then you were out of the presence of God. And a lot of times, church life goes through segments of God is doing things a certain way, but then he makes a shift. And unfortunately, much of the church never realizes when God shifts. And when God shifts and does something different, they keep doing the same thing, and they continue on that path for some time, because it's almost like if you were on a locomotive and you had a lot of momentum, if the engines stop giving power, you'd still go on for a long time because of the momentum. Well, sometimes that's the way a church functions. God makes a shift, but the church keeps going the same way, and they keep doing the same thing, but they don't realize that there has been a shift taking place and God is doing something different. And so one of the key things that any church needs to constantly be aware of is, Father, what are you doing now? Today, what are you saying to us? Because what you said 10 years ago may not be what you're saying today. There'll be some principles and things that we'll live by, of course, and the Word of God gives us. I'm not suggesting that we're doing things contrary to the Word of God, but what I am saying is that God may work within a certain wineskin, if you will, in a certain way for a period of time, but after a while, the way he did things begins to shift and change, and we have to be ready to shift with him in order to be able to distribute what he's doing in today's environment. And I'm convinced one of the things that the church is commissioned to do is to distribute the things of God, or the things of heaven, the things that come from heaven. I've heard a statement recently about, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be convinced that we have to go beyond what we are capable of going, what man is capable of doing. We must do beyond what man is capable of doing. In other words, we must get out there so that the Holy Spirit has to move in our lives in order to accomplish what we want to see accomplished. What I mean by that is that man can do certain things. There's all kinds of things that man can do that we don't need God for. The world can do lots of things that we don't need God for, but the church is not supposed to function that way. The church is not supposed to function without the demonstration of the power of God, without the gifts of the Spirit functioning. The church is supposed to be a supernatural church, a church that has activity happening within it, that activity that comes from heaven. A church that is dedicated to using the things that Jesus came to give us. And if we're not, then we're just like another country club where we gather together and maybe sing some songs and we have a good feeling and that's it. But that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about tapping into the supernatural power of God and bringing it into this natural realm that we live in. If we will do that, we'll be able to advance the kingdom of God. And so the gifts of the Spirit are very much of that, a part of that supernatural power of God. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit do not make you more spiritual in the sense that you're more devoted to God, or that you're somebody special because you know how to function in a gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit doesn't necessarily make you any more spiritual, any more than a good tools would help a carpenter if he doesn't use them. You know, there's a person can go out and build something, can be a good carpenter. Years ago, I remember my brother-in-law, when he built a house, he had no power, and there was no power around anywhere, so he went out and put the whole thing up, the frame and everything, with a handsaw and a bucksaw. And it was amazing how quickly he did it. But when they got power in there and they got some power tools, he was able to do it much faster and much better. Well, it's a similar way with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are tools given to us by the Holy Spirit in order to use, in order to advance the kingdom of God and bring encouragement and so forth to us. Now, when we are talking about gifts of the Spirit, keep this in mind. by far, they are to be used in ministering to other people. Gifts of the Spirit are to encourage and help and deliver, set free, bring healing to other people for the most part. Actually, I remember William Branham years ago. He was a guy that God was using tremendously back, I believe it was in the 50s, back in the 50s when God was using him tremendously in all kinds of miracles and healings and all kinds of things. He got in a car accident. That's how he died. He got in a car accident, and his wife was with him. And when they got in the car accident, they were laying there, and it was obvious that William Branham was going to die. His wife says, "Lay your hand on yourself and use the power that God gives you to heal yourself." And some of his last words were, "You don't realize the power is for others." We have to remember that if God is giving us a spiritual gift, then we have to decide in our own hearts to make sure that we are going to use it to bless somebody else, to encourage somebody else. So then we're talking about ministering to somebody else. And so when we talk about ministering to someone else, there's some key principles that we must remember. And one of them, we must always minister in love. Ephesians 4:5 says, "We are meant to speak the truth in love, and to grow up in every way into Christ the head." So when we have even, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the gifts of prophecy a bit later, but if we have a prophetic word for somebody, one of the key things that we must be sure of if we're going to give that word to someone else is that we look at the situation and we think, how am I going to best demonstrate love to this person, love and compassion, so that they know that I care about them and want to help them. Love is key in everything we do. We work by faith, operated by love. And so anything that we do, we must have this concept of love demonstrated amongst us. I tell you folks, it's not good enough many times just to function in a spiritual gift and then not demonstrate love at the same time. Listen to this. In Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." So here is a key as well when it comes to ministering in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to make sure we do it and we are kind about it, make sure that we are tender-hearted. In other words, we treat one another with great respect. We never act haughtily. We never, you know, that think that we have the answer all the time. But when we minister to them, we do it with a tender spirit. We do it with a kind spirit. Also, in Philippians 1:27, I love this. "But whatever happens," Paul says, "make sure that your everyday life is worthy of the gospel of Christ." I see many people who love to get involved in the supernatural and love to see the supernatural gifts, moves, and so forth, but their everyday life is messed up. And because of that, they often have no credibility. They have no credibility with man, and most often, if you don't have credibility with man, you don't have credibility with God. Because God desires for us to live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live a life that would reflect a life of a citizen of heaven. Because if we're citizens of heaven, then we get to use the gifts of heaven that come from heaven. But if we live a life that it doesn't display that we are citizens of heaven, then we have no credibility with God, with man, but also in the demonic forces as well. Because if I am praying over someone, for instance, that needs to be delivered from a pornographic spirit, and I'm praying over them and telling that spirit to leave, and I'm looking at that stuff myself, and that spirit's going to know that, and he's going to laugh at me, because I'll have no authority. I'll have no authority whatsoever in order to deal with that situation. So when we are ministering to people, we have to make sure that our lives, everyday life, the things that we do, are honoring to the Lord. As I say, one of the greatest ways to gauge this is, do we have honor with people? I think we miss that an awful lot as Christians. We think that we can have, oh, I can just love the Lord. I just love him so much. I want to serve him so much and blah, blah, blah. And yet have a problem with our brother and sister in the Lord. That we think that it's all right to have unforgiveness toward a brother and sister in the Lord, but oh, we love the Lord. Well, we are contradicting our words, even by our actions. I want to do this for the Lord. I want to do that for the Lord. Well, most of that involves in doing things for one another. So if we don't know how to do things for one another, we're not going to be doing much for the Lord. There has to be that gift of grace upon us. We have to have a desire to be servants. Because that's what it means to be a child of God. We are here to be servants. We are here to serve. If we can get that down within our spirits, I believe God will use us in a greater measure. Hebrews 10:4 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Let us consider one another. So, again, if we're ministering to one another, we have to stop and think about this, the person that's in this situation. If we're ministering to a person who needs healing, then there's some things that we have to take into account. But if there's someone over here who has just lost a loved one and they need comfort, we have to consider where they're coming from, consider where they're at. You know, it's not the same answer in every situation. We have to ask the Lord, how do I minister to this individual? Be considerate of one another. That is crucial when it comes to ministering to the body of Christ. As I say, we're talking about tonight about supernatural things. I want us to key into that. I don't want us to forget about that. The things that we do in the natural must be influenced by the supernatural power of God. The talents that we have, you and I have, and we all have talents, the talents that we have must be influenced by the supernatural power of God. It is not good enough as a Christian just to use your talents without having God's anointing on it. Christianity demands an action by a believer to receive the anointing and power of God in their lives. We must have a desire, almost a craving to say, God, I'm not satisfied with natural things. I'm not satisfied with everyday life without the anointing of God on it. Now, I think we can be very much satisfied with doing things that we do in everyday life with the anointing of God on it that can make us very happy and joyful. If we will factor in that we'll take time to remember that God's presence is with us. God's presence is with us now, but God's presence is also when we get up in the morning, prepare a coffee, have breakfast, go to work, and so forth, all those things, God's presence is with us. If we'll take time to contemplate the presence of God, that he's with us, he's here, he's with us now, and we are to live a supernatural life. Now, let's get into, let me read this scripture first before we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he said, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So with that statement, Paul is demonstrating to us, I will become whatever it takes to reach someone. And so that means that I have to take notice of who I'm ministering to. I have to take notice of how much they know. One of the things in church that we can get very, very ineffective because we can grow into a church lingo that most of the world doesn't know. And so when we begin to talk to the world and try to invite them to Christ or talk to them about their need for salvation, they have no concept of what we're talking about. We get so used to hearing words over and over again that we have a general idea what they mean. A lot of times we don't really know what they really mean, but we have church lingo that the world doesn't understand. Well, if we are talking to someone, if we are talking to individuals that are not church, they don't know the lingo, we better gear our language so that they can understand this, so that they'll be able to receive. I think sometimes we go at them like with a bulldozer and just give them a whole bunch of stuff that they don't understand, and they just end up thinking, you're weird. I don't know what you're saying. And let's say, for example, that you meet somebody that you haven't seen in a long time and you begin talking to them, suddenly they t- tell you about a serious physical issue that they're having. And all of a sudden you start saying, well, I thank God that Jesus came and by his stripes we are healed. Well, what would that mean to somebody who doesn't know anything about the scriptures? I mean, it might be powerful to you, but it doesn't mean anything to them. But you might be able to say, wow, that's really serious. Could we pray about that? Ask God for help in the situation? I'd really like to just pray. You know, most people understand what you mean when you say pray. You don't have to go quoting scriptures to them that they'll not understand, never heard before. But you can just say, can we pray about that? It'd be good for us to pray together about that. And just be able to meet them where they're at. Christians, we need to meet the people out there where they're at, not assume that they know things, but meet them where they're at and begin to show compassion, because people are only going to listen to us if they have an understanding that we care. They won't listen to us if they think that we are just trying to, get somebody, you know, even when it comes to bringing people to Christ, if they think somehow that we show them that, you know, we want you to come into the kingdom so we'll have a good testimony and then tell somebody else that I led somebody else to the Lord. This goes on all the time. We might as well admit it. But we have to come before them with tenderness to help them realize that we really care. And again, we need the supernatural power even to do that, for people to understand that we care about them. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. The Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And whenever you read the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in particular, and we are reading about the gifts of the Spirit, always remember that Paul is writing to a church that needed instruction, that was abusing many of the gifts of the Spirit. And so he gives some pretty specific instruction concerning that. And it helps us to understand the words when we realize that he is giving them some very specific ways of doing things because they were in excess in some areas. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 says, Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, Paul was writing to a church and he said, you are enriched in so many things. You have so much wisdom from heaven. There's been nothing held back to you. Enrich means to make rich or to be richly furnished. Paul was saying, as a church, Corinth, you have been richly furnished with the gifts of the Holy Spirit in everything, in all utterance and all knowledge. And these are the most popular gifts, the utterance gifts. They're the vocal gifts, tongues and interpretation, prophecy. These gifts were given to the church of Corinth, and it seemed like there was no limit to what God was able to pour out upon them. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So the gifts of the Spirit were given to the church of Corinth, and they were exercised within that church of Corinth. There was prophecy, and there was tongues interpretation, there was tongues, and of course there's a big teaching in the area of tongues with 1 Corinthians, because they seem to be doing that out of order, so Paul brought correction to it. But they also operated in the other gifts as well. And because the gifts were operated, it was a testimony that Christ was with them. There were supernatural events taking place in the church of Corinth. And that was an indication that Christ was functioning among them. For instance, the gift of prophecy was an indication that Jesus the prophet was in their midst. And he was using his people in order to speak prophetically into people's lives. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, Revelation 19:10 says, and I fell at his feet, John talking about an angel. He said, he seen an angel and he said, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he, the angel, said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we testify about what God has done in our lives, that is the spirit of prophecy. It's done in the spirit of prophecy. It's in the spirit of what God has done. It's so important for us to be able to give testimony about what God has done because that's glorifying God. And there's all kinds of supernatural things that take place in their lives that sometimes we don't hear about. And neat things. Paul was just telling me about one tonight.
Here Paul told us a testimony about quitting smoking, but it was not recorded.
Isn't that amazing when you stop and think of that? I mean, how many times we've heard people over and over and who have tried to quit and couldn't, and you've tried to quit before and couldn't. But by prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit came in and got them delivered. That's a supernatural thing. When someone testifies and tells about that, that is in the spirit of the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ is amongst his people, and he desires to be known to others that he's with us. And he's not going to know that if we don't share things like this, if we don't tell, if we don't testify about what God has did for us. Now, the word testimony, when it talks about the testimony of Jesus, is within the spirit of prophecy. That word testimony is I'm not going to try and say the Greek word because, like the old saying goes, it's all Greek to me. I can't say it anyway. But it's a word that's also used to describe martyr. Someone who is martyred for the Lord. Someone who is slain for the Lord. A martyr is someone who lays down his life for a cause. Now let me say this, that God needs a church that is functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues and interpretation, prophecy, the working of miracles, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits. Let's see, a couple more, missing a couple. A word of wisdom, word of knowledge, those gifts that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All those, he needs a church that are functioning in that. But the church will never function in those things if they're not willing to be a martyr. Because when you step out, when you believe that God is giving you something to say to someone else, you have to die to yourself because this could be embarrassing. Number one, they may not receive it. Number two, I could be wrong. We have to be willing to die to ourselves in order to speak it out. The difficult part about it is sometimes you'll miss it. See, but when we act like that, we're generally more concerned about how we're going to look or feel than we are about bringing encouragement to somebody else. And so we have to get into that place and say, Lord, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to have no reputation. Because of you, God, I'm willing to take a chance. When you speak to me about some individual's life or you have a word for me to give to somebody else, I want to speak out and say it.